The European Union has provided 10.4 million as an equivalent of 9.5 million euros in humanitarian funding to the United Nations World Food Programme here in South Sudan.
Now, the money is to provide food and nutrition support to tens of thousands of people as hunger persists in the country. Sha Weli, World Food Programme's Head of Programmes in South Sudan, is here with us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you. And also this morning we have Bad Witivin from the European Commission. Good morning, Van, and good to have you in the program.
Good morning, Sabit.
Yes, let's go right away and talk about this particular donation from the European Union to the World Food Program. Just briefly, tell us about this funding.
Well, in a nutshell, it's an ongoing partnership that we've had with WFP for many years in South Sudan, where we're contributing to their larger programming throughout the country. This year, we've topped it up with 9.5 million euros, as you have mentioned. And it's in support of those who are facing acute food insecurity throughout the country.
Right. And why is the funding coming now, and who are the target beneficiaries of this funding?
As I just mentioned, it's an ongoing partnership, so it's not just now. It's addressing a crisis that has impacted the country now for several years related to the conflict. We're targeting the very most vulnerable. We go through a very comprehensive assessment process, which Howie can describe in much more detail than I can, but we really are trying to identify those who have been affected by this acute food insecurity, and in particular the very most vulnerable households.
Yes, and Shawe, welcome once again. Tell us, where is this particular funding going to?
Sure. So across the country in South Sudan, there are about 4.5 million people with food insecurity and require food and nutrition support. So this funding will provide that support to over 700,000 vulnerable people, including people who have had to flee their homes for safety, internally displaced populations, as well as those who are just in need and have been affected by the conflict.
Go ahead.
Yes, and how would you describe the food insecurity or the food security situation in South Sudan?
At the moment, South Sudan's food security situation remains dire. It has we've seen some improvements over the past year as a result of greater humanitarian access, more stability. However, there are still pockets of insecurity and a lot of trust that needs to be rebuilt for people to return to their location.
Mm-hmm. And we understand there will be cash assistance provided directly to some of these beneficiaries. Why direct cash assistance, and what criteria will be used to identify those who will be getting this?
So direct cash gives people the dignity to have more choices. For example, if we also couple it with greater nutrition knowledge, training to our beneficiaries, and people may choose to buy fruits and vegetables. And ultimately, that diversifies their diet, but it also allows them the dignity to have their choice. In addition, we try to inject cash assistance in a way that helps to rejuvenate local markets and the local economy. Where we look to provide cash assistance, we do an assessment on the market to see if the market can absorb and provide the food for people to buy. And then often we inject it in gradual phases so that the market can develop.
Right. Now, but Witteven, the latest funding brings the European Union's total contribution to WFP's activities in South Sudan to $123.8 million, which is 113.6 million euros. What's in it for the European Union?
The answer to that is very simple. There really isn't anything in it for the Union. We really allocate this funding within the framework of the key humanitarian principles, driven by humanity, pursuing the humanitarian imperative, recognizing that the very most vulnerable who have been impacted by crisis have a right to assistance, have a right to basic level of dignity. So we allocate on the basis of impartiality, no discrimination, strictly on the basis of need. We do it neutrally, taking no side in the conflict. And we do it independently with no objective related to ideology or politics. So really, you know, at the end of the day, and I may add that as a final point, it does. I mean, we could say that it provides the perception of the solidarity that the European Union has with the most vulnerable in the world.
Right. Yes, 123.8 million. That's very, very huge number of money for the last 5 years. Let's talk about sustainability when it comes to humanitarian assistance. How willing will your particular taxpayers continue to be, you know, giving their money so you can come and serve the people in the South Sudan? The sustainability of this particular kind of funding.
Well, as I just mentioned, our decision-making and the objective of our assistance is driven by the humanitarian imperative. In that sense, sustainability really isn't a priority. We're really looking at life-saving needs. We're looking at basic dignity. That being said, we do understand that certainly in partnership with WFP, who have this longer-term commitment to the country. We appreciate the efforts they build into their programming to incorporate, let's call it, basic resilience building. And finally, I would say, you know, the European Union does have a separate branch, the development branch, which is managed through the EU delegation here in Juba, who would have sustainability as a key priority in their programming.
Right. And just to drive you a little bit to the revitalized peace agreement, with the deadline soon approaching, the 12th of November, what would you like to see the warring parties do?
From my perspective, it's a very simple ask. I mean, again, I'm sticking to the humanitarian imperative. I'll leave the political analysis to the pundits. But our request is, give us the access to the most vulnerable throughout the country. Let us do our job.
Yes, and Shaweli, just before you respond to the issue of the implementation of the peace agreement, let's talk about the resilience of what the World Food Program is doing to help these people help themselves. They're just saying that, you know, don't just give me fish, you know, give me teach me how to fish. And this particular funding coming in, and the World Food Program is giving food to the vulnerable communities, but are you giving as well, are you teaching them how to catch that fish by themselves instead of just, you know, providing them the fish?
Yes. So as Bart mentioned, first and foremost, we need to make sure that people have just the basic foods that they need to survive. And so we're very grateful to have the European Union with their contribution for humanitarian assistance. But on top of it, as Bart mentioned, WFP also works on resilience building and helping people to rejuvenate their own livelihoods and rebuild assets, community assets that are essential for not only livelihoods, but basic improved health, improved ability to secure their, for example, with the floods that we're seeing across the country, as they're building dikes to secure their own lands, and it helps to also prevent flooding into their houses, into their cropland. Those are aspects that are critical for the survival of people in South Sudan. And then we're also providing training on livelihoods as well as around agriculture. In Juba, for example, we have an urban program that provides training assistance to the most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And so it's a double program looking at both providing the most critical life-saving assistance as well as looking at how we can help rebuild the country.
But what mechanism is in place to ensure that this money that you all give is actually or reaches the intended population, the people who are to get this money gets it? What accountability mechanism is there?
Well, the allocation and implementation of our funding is within a framework of operations where, for example, I, as a technical assistant in South Sudan, play a key role. It involves a framework of evaluation, a framework of monitoring. We work with partners that have been partnerships that have been established over many years, over decades, literally. And it is subject to spot checks and audit mechanisms as well. But I think the important part is really the partnership that we've developed with a range of actors, including the World Food Programme and a wide range of other UN agencies and NGOs, which is a partnership of trust and accountability, where standard practice and good practice is key.
Right. Shaweli, Ali Abed said that all he's asking for is access to these people, so you can be able to give the humanitarian assistance to the much-needed populations, so you can be able to reach them. How will what happens after November 12, which is the deadline for the transitional government of national unity to be formed, how will what happen after November 12 affect your work?
Well, for us, first and foremost, I think for the country, there needs to be peace, and it's lasting peace, not temporary peace. And that lasting peace is what will help build trust within people and between communities. That then will lead to the potential for people to feel comfortable enough and safe enough to return or resettle in locations where they can actually build their lives or rebuild their lives again. I would also echo Bart's emphasis on the need for unhindered humanitarian access, as well as really around rule of law and the government's own investment and budgetary allocations towards development. We can provide a supporting role as a UN agency or any other UN agency, but at the end of the day, that responsibility lies with the government.
All right. In less than 30 seconds each, your final remarks, please, and we'll begin with you, Bart.
Well, I'll conclude supporting Shawe's final comment regarding sustained peace. That's what we're all looking for, and that's certainly where we place our hopes.
Thank you.
From my side for WFP, one, just appreciation for our donors and partners like the European Union. This is a lasting relationship that spans more, as Bart mentioned, more than just a year, but really looking at how we can help the country as a whole towards that lasting and sustainable peace.
Right, and Shawe Lee and Bart Witteven, thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you.
Thank you.